Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Now, to delve deeper into the main issue of the week, really, here in the UK and globally, Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng last week set out an unfunded £45 billion tax giveaway on top of an energy bill rescue plan costing, we think, £100 billion across a couple of years. But he gave no details about how to balance the books. The plan sparked a run on the pound and sent market interest rates soaring. Joining us now to discuss this, the fallout economically and more, the Director of Research at the Resolution Foundation, James Smith, and the Head of Public Policy at the Institute of Economic Affairs, Matthew Lesh. Gentlemen, welcome. Thank you both for being with us this morning. It's great to have your insights in what is a hugely important moment. Matthew, may I start with you? The Prime Minister, Liz Truss, on Thursday insisted that she's sticking to the tax plans. Kwasi Kwarteng, the Chancellor, Kemi Badenoch, the Trade Secretary, they're still in denial about the hand that this fiscal event had in the market crisis. Surely they have to accept responsibility first and foremost.
Look, I think what the government's trying to say, by my reading, is that the UK has a problem, which is been stagnant economic growth for a long period of time. And the government wanted to change approach and put out, the UK on a radically different path. And some of that has been announced last week. And I think undeniably that's led to some jitters in the market and some instability in it. And it's, of course, proven politically quite costly from the government. What I think ultimately going to matter is whether or not the agenda can be fully put forward, because I think we've only seen the beginning of the government's agenda when it comes to economic growth, and whether or not they're able to actually implement that, and that delivers the economic growth that the country desperately needs.
Hang on a second. Jitters? That's not the right way to describe what's been happening in markets since this mini budget. And the idea that this is going to help the economy has been proven to be short-lived, of course, given what's happening in the mortgage markets and expectations that house prices are going to crash 15%. This is real economic damage that we're feeling right now, Matthew.
Well, look, the truth is that you can't...
That is the truth.
That is not exactly the truth. The truth is that... Well, the truth is that there's global pressures that are putting up interest rates. The cost of borrowing was already going up. Now, the government, I have absolutely no doubt, has fueled some of that fire, is partly to blame. But I think it's ridiculous to say there wasn't inflation, the Bank of England wasn't putting up interest rates.
I didn't say any of that potential issue.
No, I don't think you're saying that, but I think the implication is that the government is entirely responsible for the fact that interest rates are going up. Interest rates are going up before Liz Truss became Prime Minister. So was inflation. So all these other issues that were going on in the economy. And I absolutely agree with you. I don't think the plan has been well received. I don't think it's been necessarily well communicated or fully outlined in terms of what the government's trying to achieve. I think the underlying goal is completely right in terms of boosting economic growth. But there have obviously been some serious problems in terms of getting that message out there.
James, let me bring you in on this point then. The Resolution Foundation today says that basically the fallout of this is going to mean that there's going to have to be a £47 billion austerity drive that's going to be needed to try to bring the national debt under control. That is surely going to be amazingly difficult to enact. Do you really think that that is what Liz Truss is actually going to do, that she's going to go immediately for a massive, even larger than the last austerity package, another go at it?
Look, I mean, what's happened here is the markets have clearly taken fright from £45 billion of unfunded giveaway, backing away from transparency and process in terms of making these decisions. So the government is under a lot of pressure at this point. You're seeing that because they're making quite a lot of having meetings with the OBR, and they're trying to link themselves back to some of that process. So the key thing is, how does the government put the fiscal position on a sustainable footing? And that's where the impact of financial markets, which will seem very remote for many people, are really, really sort of biting. So, you know, though we haven't talked about those who are seeing their mortgages withdrawn, prices going up, the increase of about a percentage point in short-term interest rates will be adding something like £1,000 to the average mortgage when they eventually feed through. But as you say, the real big issue here is exactly what the government does in terms of cutting back in order to bring about that fiscal sustainability. So the history tells us the first place that they do that is public investment. So getting us back to long-term averages for public investment could cut something like 25 billion off the deficit, but that would really be rowing back on the growth agenda, and that would be a mistake. The other thing that the governments have tended to do is to cut back on benefits, and if the government operated benefits in line with earnings forecast would suggest that would save about 10 billion this year, 20 billion next. But that would be a mistake because, you know, we're really seeing big rises in the cost of living for those on low incomes, not just energy, but also food and other components. But both investment and cutting back for low incomes really hit growth in the near term and would be counter to the government's stated aim.
Okay, Matthew, back to you if I may. I mean, James made the point that the markets seem very remote to people. I mean, to our audience, that bit alone is kind of shocking. That the Chancellor and the Prime Minister, who have city history, you know, Kwasi Kwarteng was an analyst at a number of firms. They were touted as people with knowledge and understanding of the financial markets. And that, I think, is what our audience is finding so staggering. This is what Royal London Asset Management told me this morning. To blame this on Ukraine is, quote, crazy. That is the difficulty that investors have, is that the government is not coming clean here.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the government should be absolutely honest and needs to be clear. And I think they made a mistake in terms of announcing a whole number of spending promises and tax cuts. We should remember that the biggest chunk of this is the broadly approved of idea of freezing energy bills, which is extremely costly. It's a kind of an unlimited unfunded guarantee, which is substantially increasing debt. And you add on top of that all this tax cuts. It's not an ideal context to be announcing those changes. And they did that without necessarily putting forward, as has been discussed, a forecast from the OBR or what they were going to do on the spending side. And now I suppose that needs to be addressed. And then I think additionally to that, and perhaps more importantly, they need to tell a persuasive case about regulatory reform, because this is the underappreciated part of what the government's trying to do, which is it's putting effectively a down payment on growth by cutting taxes that it thinks are going to discourage investment, like increasing the corporate tax, for example. But at the same time, they're saying, we want to address some of the regulatory issues that are holding back investment and holding back activity. Now, they've said they want to speed up infrastructure planning processes, and they've flagged a whole bunch of areas from business regulations, planning regulations, aviation, agriculture, childcare, where the government is going to be announcing plans, but they haven't done so yet. And it's the combination of those things that can boost economic growth that ultimately will mean a bigger economy, more government fund spending capacity. And it's that combined agenda that can boost economic growth that the government needs to outline in order to be persuasive to markets that there is a growth plan. It's worth noting that central banks have been talking for quite some time about how they can control things on the inflation side, but the government needs to sort out economic growth. They need structural reforms. And we've heard that from central banks all over the world. And I think the government is trying to get on with those structural reforms. They've just gone ham-fisted, I suppose, with some of these tax cuts, and that's resulted in this financial instability.
James, those structural reforms are absolutely necessary, aren't they? That is a policy mix that will help growth. You do need to boost productivity. It has ailed for too long here in the UK. Some of those measures will be needed.
I absolutely agree with Matthew. The number one priority, the big issue facing UK governments over the past 15 years or so since the financial crisis, has been the extremely weak growth we've had. Over that period, growth has been the weakest since the Great Depression on a per capita basis. So that is a huge problem. The big issue here is the timing of when you are going for growth. The time to go for growth, particularly with a big tax cutting package, is not when you have inflation at the highest for 40 years. And that's what's really given the markets the sense that this is not a thought through sustainable plan. So for sure, we need structural reforms. You know, tax cuts can help. That can be part of that. That's not bad policy in principle. But the key thing is basically focusing on the priorities that the government should have, particularly in the winter ahead. So that's helping households with the cost of living crisis. And once inflation is under control, once the government has supported the Bank of England in getting the inflation problem dealt with, then that is the time to go for growth with structural reforms, with not necessarily all the policies that are being announced, but that should be the focus of the government, both getting growth up and fighting the inequality issues that we're facing.
Matthew, the polling, lots been made of this morning. Labour, 33-point lead from YouGov. Servation, 21-point lead. Delta poll, 19 points. I mean, we all saw the Labour Party conference just a few days ago with Keir Starmer. You know, a complete change of fortunes, really. I mean, after 12 years of Conservative government, is there sort of an acceptance that after the Boris Johnson tenure and this kind of self-inflicted financial crisis, that actually trust is not going to last very long?
Look, I'm not an expert in reading the political tea leaves, and I'm not going to try to predict whether or not trust is here to stay for the next 10 years or is going to be gone next month. Look, I think if I were to make an assessment, I'd say she needs an opportunity to actually get on with the reform she's been talking about. And I think she's said quite consistently that not everything she's doing is going to be popular, and there might be some short-term political pain. In fact, even announcing some what are widely seen as some quite unpopular measures, in the idea that if you can get on with boosting economic growth, ultimately your political fortunes can be reversed and you can be quite successful. It's worth noting Truss came into office with a pretty low position in terms of Tory support, as well as a very challenging economic context. And in the face of that, she has said, I'm not going to stand still and do nothing. And we're going to push forward with a range of economic reforms. Because I think this is the truth, which is Truss could have come in and just announced we're going to freeze energy prices. That would have been very popular, but that would have left the UK, I think, on the same general direction, the same outcomes mm-hmm. for the economy over time, and okay. in the sense of a slow decline. And James, we're being willing to take a kind of more radical differentiating approach, yeah. Even if it is unpopular, is something that I think is the kind of the gamble, the risk okay. politically as the Truss administration is taking.
We're unfortunately running short of time. Just one last one to James before we let you both go. You've both been very generous with your time. James, we're hearing reports that the Prime Minister and the Chancellor will be meeting with the head of the OBR today. What is your expectation? Is this in a bid by the government to kind of weigh on and lean on an independent forecaster, arm twist an independent forecaster, or is it the government trying to restore credibility? What's your take?
I mean, that's the big issue here. So, what the government needs is to adopt clear, transparent processes, let the OBR be as independent as possible. I think, you know, what they're going for here is trying to make it clear that they respect what the OBR is doing. But the risk is the optics of this look like they're trying to coerce the OBR in terms of their forecast. So what the government needs to be very clear about is that the OBR will be allowed to do its job independently as we come to the fiscal event on the 23rd. It's welcome that they've said they'll set out their fiscal rules and how they're going to meet them. And that's the key thing here, making sure that they have a clear framework, a clear assessment from the OBR, and a very transparent way of making sure that they meet their fiscal targets.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.